Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bills going for the block. Here's the snap. The kick is on the way. It is up. It is good. And the Houston Texans knock the Bills out of the playoffs. End the Bills season.
Obviously a hard-fought game. I had opportunities to win the game. We didn't get the job done. They made plays. They made more plays than we did. Congratulations to them. I'll give them credit. But we had opportunities to win the game. We came up short. Not an easy pill to swallow this time of year. A lot of pain in that locker room. A lot of hard work's gone into it. You know, we learn from it. We go on into the offseason and keep building. Keep working.
As you come back next year, be better. And that's going to naturally happen with the maturation of Josh and the offense as they have more time to come together in jail. And the defense will still be a high unit. You know, obviously in the offseason, I know Brandon and Sean will bring in more talent, guys, to replace myself and some other moves as well. And this team will be much better next year.
I won't be over this until we start playing again, for sure. I'm very self-driven, and I understood that things could have went differently. And I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to grow from it. And this will be a chip on my shoulder until we start playing again.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Good morning. One final time here on the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, WGR Sports Radio 550. Good to be along with you. Sad to be here for the last time this year. I was hoping this thing would extend for at least another week and maybe even longer, and really thought that that was going to be the case. I thought the Bills were going to win this game, and as the game went on, I thought they should have won the game, but they didn't. They fall to the Houston Texans 22-19 in a wild AFC wildcard game, one that's going to be remembered for a long time. We'll get to all of that. It's the Extra Point Show. We do have a couple news, a couple pieces of breaking news here as we start the program. Not particularly overwhelming news for the Bills, but breaking nonetheless, because they have made some future slash reserve signings, which they're allowed to do now that the season is over. So I'll read those to you. And then Brayton's got something that just reported about another team in the NFL here in a moment. The Bills have signed 10 players to their future slash reserve contracts. It's pretty much guys that were on the practice squad. Tight end Nate Becker, linebacker Terrell Dodson, wide receiver Nick Easley, cornerback Cam Lewis from UB, wide receiver Ray McLeod, linebacker Delshawn Phillips, tackle Victor Sulaco, running back Christian Wade, quarterback Davis Webb, and defensive end Jonathan Woodard. So the Bills will bring all of those players back to camp next year, or at least they'll be a part of their offseason until anything changes with them if they don't want to bring them back to camp, but they are under contract now. And Brayton also has some breaking news around the NFL.
Yes, it is reported from Adam Schefter of ESPN that the Cowboys are expected to hire former Packers coach Mike McCarthy as their head coach.
I think that's a good hire for them. I'm not a huge, huge Mike McCarthy fan, but I think he works well with a veteran team. I think that's good. That's what he needs. A team that, you know, he can come in that's kind of already got a foundation laid where he can kind of steer the ship. And what I mean by that is a veteran team that maybe needed a little more leadership. That's what I think he can do. I think he'll be a good guy to steer that ship back on track. And I think the Cowboys will be better for having Mike McCarthy. I think that's a good hire. And I'm glad Jerry, you know, didn't have to make a splash hiring. That's not a splash hiring. That's a solid hiring.
Yeah, it's a solid one. Jay Glazer was the one who originally reported it. And okay. Then Jason Lockenfor is now confirming that all the reports that are starting to come through are being confirmed.
And yesterday, Brian Daboll was supposed to interview with the Cleveland Browns for their head coaching job. But then the Browns changed course and decided not to have any interviews yesterday, apparently, because they have more time. And the reason why doesn't mean Daboll's not going to interview. He still will. But he only, if the Bills had won, he would have literally one day to interview. And that would have been yesterday. And since they lost, now he can interview at any time. It'll be more convenient for him and more convenient for the Browns. So the Browns will still interview Bill's head, offensive coordinator Brian Daboll for their head coaching position. So a lot of moving parts, a lot going on here. And I'm here to talk about everything with you. First and foremost, of course, the game on Saturday night, how it ended, what happened, what transpired during the game. Then also the entire season as a whole, if you want to get to that. and a look ahead to 2020, the offseason right now. Anything you want to talk about today is on the table. Anything. So today's your last chance if you've wanted to call the program and you never have for anything. If you just want to call and say, hey, what's up, Sal? Enjoyed the Extra Point Show? Or, hey, Sal, you sucked on the Extra Point Show? Whatever you want to say, that's okay. Brayton, you want to say that? Sal, you sucked on the Extra Point Show? You could say that if you want right now.
No, I'll pass.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to make sure. You want to do that today? That's fine. You want to say what you think about the team, the season, or look ahead to 2020? Today's your chance to do that. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Let me get to some house cleaning items before we get to everything else. Tomorrow will be the end-of-year press conference for Sean McDermott, followed by Brandon Bean. That's going to start at 10 a.m., and we're going to have it for you right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So that's tomorrow, 10 a.m. Yesterday was locker cleanout day for players, and I have an article up at WGR550.com. I have some quotes in that on my Twitter feed at Sal Sports. I have some notes about locker cleanout day. I have pending free agents on that article as far as all of their pending UFAs, RFAs, and equal rights free agents. All of that can be found at WGR550.com. Today is still a Buffalo Football Monday. So after this program at noon, you'll have John Murphy and Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. And then you'll have Shopin the Bulldog starting at 3 p.m. And they are scheduled to have Micah Hyde today. So Micah Hyde at 4 p.m. for his last time on Shopin the Bulldog this season. Unless, of course, he wants to come on in the offseason. I'm sure they'll have him, but you get the point. So we'll do all that today. Normal rules apply here if you're going to call. You want to call up? You want to give your take? I'll give you the forum. I'll turn the phone and the mic over to you, basically. And you can say what you want. You have a question, a comment, anything else? That's great. Try to make a reasonable contribution to the program, though. You know, I mean, I know you're emotional. I know we are. It's been 48 hours. A little different today than it would have been doing the show yesterday, that's for sure. I know we're all emotional about everything that happened, everything that went down. It doesn't mean that every single staff member needs to be fired and every single player needs to be cut. We don't need to go that far with our knee-jerk reactions, but we should have reactions nonetheless. And I'm looking forward to hearing that from you today. No guests, no interviews. It's just you and it's just me and it's 2 hours here on the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Where to start with this one? Well, I want to start by going backward and thinking about games of years past. Because in 1993, there was the greatest comeback in NFL history. In 1999, it was the Music City Miracle. I'm not sure what we're going to call this one. Have we dubbed it anything yet? The Collapse? Something like that, something with the word Houston in it. I'm not sure. But once again, the Bills and an organization from Houston, whether it be the Houston Oilers in the comeback or the Tennessee Titans, who originally were the Oilers, and the Music City Miracle, once again, they played a wild card playoff game that's going to be remembered for many years. Not just in Buffalo, not just in Houston, everywhere. When they talk about Wild Card Weekend, this will be one of those games that's put up on those highlight reels. And for the second straight time in those games, this one did not turn out well for the Bills. The 24-year playoff win drought is going to continue for at least one more season. 1995 is the last time the Bills won a playoff game. Third longest active drought in the NFL. And this one really hurts. The Bills had a season that exceeded a lot of expectations for a lot of people. I mean, their over-under in Vegas was 6.5 or 7 going into this year. They won 10 games, could have easily won 11, I think, if they had played their starters against the Jets in the finale. They had a lot of success and a lot of great times. And they showed this year that they're going to be a team to deal with for the foreseeable future. But they should have won this game. And everyone knows it. They blew a 16-point lead. They couldn't finish off a team that they were better than. They made too many critical mistakes. And now we'll have to sit with it and think about it for an entire offseason. This one's going to hurt. Fans, the organization, it's going to cut deep and it's going to hurt for a long time. Josh Allen said yesterday he'll be thinking about it until he plays another football game next season. Saturday night in the locker room after the game. There was no talking about what a good season they had from players. There was no settling for just getting into the playoffs and saying how nice that was. There was anger, there was frustration, and there was disappointment that they didn't win a game that they should have. Up 16 points on a team that, quite frankly, I think they're better than. And rightfully so, that all of those emotions were there. But they can't go back and replay the game, and they can't change the outcome. All they can do is think about what happened at NRG Stadium, figure out why it happened, do what they can to fix it, and come back next year ready to take another step. Because as much as this one hurts, they are in a position to do that. General Manager Brandon Bean has really set this franchise up to have a great chance for plenty of success. After winning 10 games and making the playoffs, the Bills now go into this offseason with about $90 million in salary cap space and 9 draft picks through 7 rounds in this year's draft. 18 draft picks through 4 through 14 rounds if you count the next 2 drafts as of right now. They also have a very young nucleus of players at key positions like linebacker, of course quarterback, left tackle, running back, and more. Over the next couple months, we're going to talk a lot about free agency, who the Bills can and should sign. We'll talk about the draft and who they should take. That's the circle of life in the NFL. We do it every year, whether we start in November, or we start in December, or we start now in January. The difference is this year, we're going to be doing it a little bit later because we're not used to talking about it in January. 2 of the last 3 years we have, which is nice. You know, we're also going to be talking about this entire offseason leading into OTAs and minicamp and training camp in 2020 regular season. We're going to be talking about higher expectations that are now going to be coming with all of this. Saturday was, and it's going to be, tough to take for a lot of reasons. Fans are going to be hurting. But hurting because of a loss in a game that mattered. And that's a lot better than not mattering because there were no playoffs or because the expectations weren't any higher. It's a much better spot to be in to have expectations and hurt when you don't meet them than to just say, they weren't that good anyway. Every week, I talk after the game. I write WGR550.com, arrow up, arrow down. I get on this radio program. I give you a monologue. And every week when I write my column, arrow up, arrow down, I start with the arrows pointing up after a win or down after a loss. That's why Howard refers to it as arrow down, arrow up after the Bills lose. This year, I got to start with the arrow up 10 times. I had to start with the arrow down only 7. That's been good. It's been fun. I'm glad about that. Reading your feedback on Twitter, at Sal Sports, whether agreeing or disagreeing with me about it, that's been a fun ride too. Talking with you on the Extra Point Show, giving you this monologue, taking phone calls, that's been amazing. It's been great. It's been a great year in that regard. This is the last time we're going to do it, though, in 2019. So before we do the next hour and 45 minutes, I want to thank you all for coming aboard and sharing it with me. It was a fun ride. But I want to tell you this. We're in for an even more wild and, I think, fun ride in 2020, as much as we are hurting today. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 on WGR. My son Max watched the game with my wife Yana at a friend's house on Saturday. I get home late, so obviously he was sleeping. I asked her on Sunday, what was it like? She said he cried. He cried a lot. And I had to say the same thing I'd said to Max, which I just said to you. I said, it's okay. It's okay to cry after when you lose. It's okay to cry watching a sporting event when you love something like that. Totally okay. And then I said, because if you don't cry, it means it doesn't matter to you. And they were in the playoffs, and it mattered because the season's over. That's a good thing. Even though it hurts like hell, man. Right? All right, let's get to the phone calls now. We can talk about whatever you want on this. I know we're going to get calls on offense, defense, coaching, officiating, a lot of different things we can do. Anthony in Hamburg is going to start us off. Hi, Anthony. You're on WGR. What's going on?
Hey, Sal. To me, that game was lost with the last drive of the first half and the drive after our turnover. I've said it all year. You cannot play safe. And to me, they did not try to finish them off. That's the end of the last drive of the first half was – I've been watching football forever. I've never seen a team the way we kind of construct these drives. I mean, we left 30 – it was a five-and-a-half-minute drive. We left 30 seconds to try to score. It was just really bad time management. But I think it ultimately is what he wanted, which is a field goal. And personally, if he's going to excel down the road, I think he's got to learn from this. I hope he does. And start learning that he's going to have to not just depend on his defense to win these games. Because when you play against quality quarterbacks, you can't just depend on your defense doing it. One thing I wanted to add with that is that Carolina, I'll never forget, Carolina came to Buffalo a few years, you know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, and Ron Rivera didn't go on 4th-and-1 with Cam Newton. And he basically said, I'm changing everything up, and he became Riverboat Ron.
Yep.
So coaches can learn from this, but I hate the philosophy. I think it doesn't work.
Yeah, I hear you. And Anthony, I agree with you about the end of the first half. That was something I wrote my very first arrow down in my arrow down, arrow up column from the game was last offensive drive of the first half. The Bills were up 10-0. They were driving. A touchdown would have put them up 3 scores, would have made it really difficult for Houston to come back in the second half, but they got the ball to the 23-yard line with 30 seconds left. They still had a timeout. Then they ran Frank Gore for only 1 yard. They had Josh Allen spike the ball. They created a 3rd-and-9. And then they still had that timeout in their pocket. They wasted the down instead of the timeout. Maybe, I guess, because they wanted to make sure they had the timeout in case they had to run the field goal team on. But they didn't have to because on 3rd down, it was an incomplete pass. The clock stopped anyway. And that means they went to the locker room still with the timeout in their pocket and then only 3 points. I didn't like it. And to your point about the philosophy, I'm not sure he wanted the field goal. I think he was okay with taking the field goal in the position they were in instead of being more aggressive. And I think that's a fair criticism, but I also think you know that you have a defense that should be able to continue to, you know, lock them down, and that's the mode he's been in. I'm not disagreeing with you, though. You have to change at some point here. I don't know if it's the change of the head coach's philosophy or just the change of personnel and team and feeling better about the fact that you can score more on offense and you don't have to play it as close to the vest. It's a chicken and egg for me. Because I think Sean McDermott has made a lot of strides in as a head coach in that regard. They were more aggressive this year. They were more aggressive on 4th down. He incorporates analytics a lot into his decision. He talks about that. I just don't know if they have the team necessarily that it feels comfortable in the offense doing that. So therefore, he relies more on the defense because that's kind of the way the team is constructed. But it did bother me a lot, that end of the first half sequence and how that management was played out. And right after the second half started, I think the second drive was kind of similar to that too. Let's go to Paul in West Seneca. Hi, Paul. You're on WGR.
Hi. I normally don't call it. I'm sort of a first-time caller, but...
Well, I appreciate you listening. Thank you.
But my call is about the officiating, especially on that second half kickoff. I'm reading the rules, and it was a free kick. And on a free kick, once the receiving player receives the ball, then he becomes a runner. Okay, and I'm reading the rules for a runner, and when a runner declares himself down by falling to the ground or kneeling, which he didn't do, and clearly making no immediate effort to advance. Okay, he made no effort to advance, but he also has to fall to the ground.
No, I don't. This is a tough one for me. I'm not disagreeing, Paul. I just, because I think by the letter of the law, you could find your way to they blew it. But at the same time, he did basically not, he did not try to do anything. He did not try to advance. But you're right, the rule basically should be written better, or they should adhere to it better. But I do think that he did give himself up, so to speak, which is what the rule is intended for.
Yeah, but intent, well, there's a lot of plays where I didn't intend to do this. But
I understand.
Called
right.
A foul.
Yep.
And I think we got shafted. It's just like the foot in the crease.
Let me ask you this, Paul. In all honesty, just for a moment, just remove yourself from this happening to the Bills. If that was a Buffalo Bills player that did the exact same thing, would you not be completely livid and say, are you kidding me? He clearly was giving himself up.
Yeah, and if it was against the Patriots, it probably would have been ruled a safety.
Maybe. I don't know about that. But I'm just saying, what, don't you think, though, that if that was the Bills player who did that, you would also feel a little differently?
Yeah, but the rules are the rules.
Okay, I know. I'm just...
It happened in college football. There was a play where the exact same thing happened in college football, and they ruled it a touchdown.
I know that. I know. I saw that. And I also have to go back and look at the exact wording of the rules in college are the same as the NFL. We can go round and round about this, and look, you might be right, Paul. I'm not here to disagree and say they shouldn't have. Maybe they should have. But you know what? They also lost the game because they blew a 16-point lead, and they didn't tackle on 3rd and 18, and they let Deshaun Watson escape, and they didn't make plays in the end zone.
Yeah, I agree with you that ultimately we lost the game because of offense. But that
or well, a lot of things. It wasn't just the officiating, but I have more problem with other things about the officials in this game, to be honest with you, than that one. I really do. I know that one's the most glaring for a lot of people, but if you want me to tell you what I thought about the officiating or criticize, that's not the first thing I criticize. First thing I criticize might be the clear delay of game on the 3rd and 18. I was on the field. It was clear for at least a second. Coaches, staff, everybody yelling at the officials. 0-0. They still let the play roll. I know that happens in a league, but that's clearly was at 0. The Houston Texans in this game had 0. That's right. 0 penalties occurred during the actual play of any play. They had 2 false starts before a snap. They had 2 delay of games before a snap. And these are all accepted or declined penalties. And then they had 1 roughing after a snap. They had nothing during, they had no holding, face mask, illegal block, crackback, nothing during an actual play. If you want it, those are things I would look at even more. I also thought the Bills had some favorable things go their way as far as video review early in the game. Cole Beasley, I didn't think had a first down. They gave him one. And then Deshaun Watson tight-roped and got out of bounds and probably had a first down, but they didn't give it to him. But Bill O'Brien couldn't review it because he had already lost the challenge. It would have been too risky for him. So there you go. The blindside block, too, I didn't like. And I know that's what Ron wants to talk about here. So I didn't like that call either. Go ahead, Ron. I'll let you talk about it.
Are you there, Sal?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Paul a little bit. If you're going to go by the letter of the law, and that's what the officials are saying with the blindside block, that it's the letter of the law, it's the way the rule was written, then the guy in the black hat and the black jacket should have came out, and they should have let common sense prevail.
Yeah.
Because that guy turned around and engaged Cody Ford himself and never got knocked to the ground on that play.
You know which rule they actually called? I think the wording is poor on that blindside block because it's not really a blindside block. That is the new rule that they put in place this year, Ron. The rule states you cannot block someone if you are going back toward your own goal line. It's not really a blindside block. They call it that, but it's actually a new rule just put in place this year. It has been called in NFL games where you can't block someone going towards your own goal line if he's coming and running basically like he would be like an offensive player would.
And I understand completely. My point is, if you're going to follow the rules, letter to the T.
Which they did on that play, but they didn't on the kickoff, you're saying.
Correct.
Yep, I get you. Yep, and I didn't like the call, by the way. I thought it was ticky-tack. I thought it was soft. I thought it was weak. I even think there's an argument to be made he wasn't going back towards his own goal line. He was kind of at an angle. So, I'm with you on that. I mean, look, I will say this to all of you today. If you want to call up and complain about officiating, you're more than welcome. I told you, you can call up and talk about whatever you want. I'd rather not focus as much on that today. There was a lot of things that happened, but that's up to you. That's up to you. I'm not going to – go ahead if you want. It's okay. We can do that. Let me take another phone call here before I get off to Mark. Has been waiting. Mark, you've been waiting since the morning show. I'll let you get on now, buddy. What's going on?
How you doing, Sal?
Good.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Moralizing. No, it's all good, man. I'll wait all day for you. It's just demoralizing day. You know, demoralizing. Just it can moan about officials, but to blow a 16-point lead, I need this point, this team, to get to a point where you don't have to hold teams 17 points to win games. I mean, my greatest defensive players in the history of the team said they were a little resentful at the, you know, the hurry-up K-gun offense at first, Daryl Talley. Then he said it was so easy to play defense because you put opposing offenses in a bind because they felt it took them out of their game plan and they had to do things they didn't want to do. It was like a cash register, just score, score, score. Those defenses got a lot of turnovers because of that. And I just want this team to be able to get to a point where that is the game plan, as opposed to just, you know, lay and pray. You get to 20 and pray to God that the other team can't do it.
Yeah, I think we all want that. And, you know, I hope that, you know, I have confidence. What I've seen in two off seasons by this team, especially last off season by Brandon Bean and company, I have confidence that they'll do a very honest self-assessment and they'll understand that and take care of that as well, or try to at least.
Yeah, and also for all the people that called and begged you, you know, and got on you for Duke Williams, hold on to that ball. He had two chances to catch that ball at the end of the second half, at the first half.
I'm glad he was active. I thought he earned the right. I thought he earned the opportunity, so it was nice to see him out there. By the way, you know he actually had more snaps than Cole Beasley in this game?
I thought that was a little much.
I'm fine with him playing. I think he earned it, but I thought Cole Beasley would have been a good matchup for them in this game, and, you know, they decided not to go that route as much. Well, he played enough. Cole Beasley did play a lot, I should say, but it was more about Duke, I think, at the wide receiver spot than Cole in this game.
Yeah, I just felt like it was a little forced. They just need a guy. I think they have some gadget guys. That McKenzie, Duke's a nice story, but let's just be honest about what he is. I just think they need to get some alphas as opposed to, like, B players at receiver. And thank you so much for the season, so you have a great one.
All right, you too, Mark. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Before I go to break, let me tell you, I have a special birthday in my life coming up. That is my wife, Yana. She will be turning. She told me. I'm allowed to say her age on the air. I might later. I might bring it up again later and say her age. She said I can do it. She's like, no, you could definitely do it. But it is her birthday, and that means I need to go to Firth Jewelers, because you should always go to Firth for all of your Firth Day presents. See how I did that? Firth features one of the largest single-store collections of jewelry and loose diamonds in Western New York, from gifts and collectibles to engagement, wedding, anniversary jewelry, and that special you and I diamond pendant that they have as well. Their selection makes your selection a breeze, plus Firth-friendly savings ensures your affordability. Also, their exclusive Firth Forever Guarantee on select diamond jewelry gives you full credit for your full purchase price, and that's toward even finer jewelry, and that's for life and forever. You can't go wrong. For all the moments of your life, go forth to Firth, just north of the Falls Fashion Outlets on Military Road. They are my jeweler. They've been for years. I need you to make them your jeweler. You're going to be a Firth fan too. More from the Extra Point Show from you here on WGR after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Josh is a second-year guy. He's going to play for 15 more years. He's going to prove himself over and over again. He's a hell of a quarterback. He's a hell of a leader. I'd go out there and play for him any day.
That's Bills defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. Earlier, by the way, we played sound from John Murphy, Bills Radio Network. Also, Sean McDermott after the game, Lorenzo Alexander after the game, and then Josh Allen yesterday. Those were all the sound bites we heard a little bit earlier. Of course, Lorenzo Alexander retiring. We'll get into more of that a little bit later. I'll focus more on the future here as we go on. I know there's a lot of things from yesterday. I guess a lot of you didn't realize about the new rule, the blindside block rule. And again, I'm not defending the call. I still think it was kind of weak, the call on Cody Ford. But yes, there is a new rule in the NFL that was put in place this year that says you cannot block someone if you are going back toward your own goal line. Even if that quarter, even if your quarterback, like in this case, if your quarterback escapes and a defensive end or someone is chasing him from behind, you are not allowed, as an offensive player, I don't care if you're a running back, a receiver, or an lineman, you are not allowed to be facing your own end zone, basically, running backward, like, I'm not backward, running towards your own end zone, so not running toward where you'd be going for a touchdown, and block someone coming at your quarterback from behind. You can't do that. It's illegal. It's been a rule all year. They've called it. I just think it's a stupid rule, and it's also kind of subjective about the angle you're on sometimes. And I thought that was the case here on Cody Ford, and he basically just touched the guy. He didn't really block him. He just kind of gave him a little push. So, there you go. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Apparently, a lot of you didn't realize that. I'm getting tweets on, what are you talking about? Like, that's a rule? Yes, it's a rule. It was put in place this year. And earlier this year, there was a play where the Bills had, like, a long pass, or a pass that went for a big yardage or something. And on the play, Devin Singletary was going to block someone like that, and he stopped. He stopped because he knew the rule. So he didn't allow himself to be put in that position. And I pointed out on Twitter, like, wow, he had a lot of awareness to not actually do this. So it's been a rule all year, and just trying to point it out for everybody. Hey, you've been injured at work, don't do anything alone. Call Losi and Ganji because they work hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers like you. When you're injured, your employer and their insurance company have their attorneys working for them from the day that you get hurt. That's why you shouldn't do anything alone. You need the hardworking team at Losi and Ganji working hard for you and your family. They make sure you get everything that you deserve, your weekly benefits, your medical treatments, your settlement, whatever it is. Losi and Ganji is there for you. They're big Buffalo people, big Buffalo sports people. Give them a call. They're going to take care of you properly, right, and make sure it's done with all of the different details that need to be buttoned up on. For workers' comp and personal injury, call Losi and Ganji, 854-1446, or go online to losi-ganji.com. Losi and Ganji, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR. Go ahead.
Hey, Sal, I'm still waiting for you to call me to take you to dinner when you come down here.
I haven't been down there in a couple of years. That's, I'll tell you that. Yeah. My mom still gets on me about that. They've been coming up here.
So, yeah, don't forget. Keep my number. I'll take you out.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate you very much. You do a great job. And it was a good year, but I got a few things, including I have a name for the game, okay? Like, you know, talk to Music City Miracle. But let me get a couple points out quickly. What I'm concerned about with Josh, a lot of people are criticizing him. I mean, he deserves some criticism, but I look at it, I think, the way a lot of people do. He shouldn't have been put in that position. Gore's a great player and love the guy, but I think that, you know, those seven carries, at the wrong time when they got down in the red zone. I think they could have been a little bit more pressure taken off of Josh instead of I think he felt the weight of the world was on his shoulders for a reason. You know what I'm saying? I think there could have been a little different game planning, a little different play calling to take some of that heat off a young quarterback, because the stats show for young quarterbacks in playoff games, 33% wins. So it's you got to do something to take some pressure off, especially when you have the lead. Yeah, bad officiating, all those types of things. I couldn't believe that missed block. What was that, the sweep with Josh Allen?
Yeah, so, you know, let me tell you something about that. And I know it's weird. It's going to be weird, and you're going to say, come on, how can you do that? But I've seen that happen so many times in football, and I think what happens is, in a situation like that, Mike, you have, like, three guys out there, and a lot of times you're running, and you think, oh, that's not my guy. Someone else is going to get him. I'll get the next guy. And then two people think that, and he just kind of knifes through it. I think that's what happened with Cunningham hitting Allen. If it's just one guy, if you have one lead blocker, you might have a better chance of actually blocking him. I shouldn't say a better chance. It might happen more often. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen too many times where I go, how the hell did you guys all miss that guy? And I think that's sometimes what happens is they think the other guy has him. You know what I mean?
It's exactly. But you take all these things into consideration, and I think, you know, like the great scholar Jerome Howard, otherwise known as Curly, said, and some of this, you could look at Josh and say he's a victim of circumstance, you know?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, we said it this morning on with Howard and Jeremy, there were a lot of little things the little things was a big list in this game, really, you know, and that's what lost it for him.
And one of those changes, Sal, and we're talking about Buffalo playing at Kansas City. Just one of those.
That's life in the playoffs, though. You know, it's different, and you're playing a different and better team. What did you want to call the game?
It is. Okay. Wait, one last quick thing. And Deshaun Watson, his first playoff game, what, they lost like 21-7. He looked horrible. So Josh will grow from this. The team will grow. I think they'll all learn.
And I agree.
I wouldn't want to change a thing, you know. There's just too much good moving forward in a short period of time. This whole organization has turned around, you know, thanks to Brandon Bean and McDermott. Now, the name, two names possible here, okay, because it hurts. It hurt the next day. It still hurts. So two possible names, the Houston Hangover or the Texas Tragedy.
Oh, man. I mean, those hurt just thinking about them, Mike, but let me see what my callers say or my tweeters say. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know what I want to call it. The Houston Hangover. I don't know if that makes sense, because then people think like you were like hungover for the game, and that's not the case. Texas Tragedy. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's going to be called something someday. Maybe not right now, though. I don't know. Jim in Tonawanda. Hi, Jim. What's going on? You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Nice to see you on the radio again. My problem with the team was, we should have won the Jets game. What are we resting starters for? We're not that team yet. I wanted to go in. We lost four of our last five games.
It's a tough call. It's a balance you have to weigh. And, you know, I think everybody could look and say, but it didn't matter, though. I mean, you know, they even if they had. Okay, anyway, I don't know. They wouldn't have won the division even if they'd played those guys. Those guys, not everybody rested. Some played, but I think, Jim, you make a valid point, but I don't think there's a right answer here is my point.
There isn't a right answer. I shouldn't have proposed it then.
No, I know. I just it's a hard balance. I think they tried to rest the guys that they felt needed it, and at the same time, they wanted to stay sharp. I will agree with you on this. They lost four of their last five games, counting the playoffs, and that is a bit concerning to me, and I don't know why that is, but I can guarantee you Sean McDermott will look at that.
I hope so. And the next thing and the last thing is, somebody in the offseason has got to put stickum on Josh Allen's fingers. He has put the ball on the carpet in every stadium he's been in.
It's a concerning aspect of his game. It has been for a while, and he has to get better at it. There's no doubt about it, and it hurt him in this game, and he said it best yesterday. That turnover cost them 3 points, and that was the margin of victory. Let's go to Neil in New Jersey. Hi, Neil. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. First time, long time.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I just wanted to, you know, after going through 24 hours of anguish, along with most other Bills fans, just trying to make some parallels from what I remember about the previous dynasty. I don't know if you remember, but the 89-90 season when the Bills were on the rise, just like perhaps these Bills are, they lost a heartbreaking game in Cleveland.
I do. Well, that would have been, actually would have been, yes, the 89-90. You're right. I'm sorry. January of 90 was the Ronnie Harmon game.
Yes, and lost at the last second. And just to be a little bit hopeful, you know. That team went on to go to four Super Bowls.
I mean, they actually advanced further the year before that when they went to the AFC title game and lost in 88 to the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, I mean, they actually went further the year before that.
But the parallels are there. You know, we have a good group of core players, young, talented, and hopefully, you know, they can have similar success.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I've thought a lot about that. I think they have a good nucleus. That team, the 88, 89, that era, they started really collecting talent. They were young. It took them a little while. It doesn't happen overnight. Look, I got to tell you, yesterday in the locker room, I was really, really, I was kind of blown away by how much Frank Gore gushed about this team and what they can be. And Frank Gore was talking as if he's a player that's not coming back. I don't expect him to come back. He is undecided about his NFL future, but I can't expect him to be back on the Buffalo Bills. I don't. And he was talking about they. He kept saying they, not we. Like, they are set up. He kept saying how much young talent they have and how much it reminded him of San Francisco and all of them coming up together. And obviously they did wind up going to a Super Bowl when he was there. But he talked a lot about that yesterday and just how confident he is that this team is going. He even said that they should take over this division. And look, I know that that's his buddies. He's biased, whatever. But Frank Gore was very genuine in how he was talking so affectionately about what he believes this team is able to accomplish with the players they have. And he kept referring to good young players, young nucleus. And I like that. And I think that goes back to the heart of what you're saying about, you know, those late 80s teams. Rick in Brockport. Hi, Rick. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, listen, I just want to say one thing is, first of all, to start out, you know why it's so hard to get through to your show? Because you allow us as fans to say the things that are good, bad, or indifferent, man, and bravo for you, brother.
Well, I think, you know, let me tell you something, Rick, and I'll let you give your point. A few years ago, this show kind of started going off the rails a little bit, where it was just like, it was overreaction Monday, people were just wanting everybody fired and stuff, and I said, you know what, we need to calm it down a little bit, but here's the balance I'm going to give you, and this is what I did. I did this 2 years ago. I said, I want you to call, I'm going to give you the forum, you can talk, but you just got to make sure that you keep it, you know, on point and have a good logical conversation. And I think the response from the fans has been great and it's worked for everybody.
Yeah, thanks, man. We really appreciate it. So my thought about where we lost the game was in overtime. We ran, I don't know how many plays we ran in overtime. There's 15 minutes in an overtime period. It's not like it's a 2-minute drill. And we didn't run the ball one time in overtime. This kid had a run for his life. And along with that, the play calling that Dable pulled off during that time was schizophrenic in comparison to the first half, and especially in the overtime. You got a guy like DeMarco running a streak pattern, and you're throwing the ball down to DeMarco. Is he trying to fool somebody? I just don't even understand the play calling. When you've got a guy like Singletary who can run the ball, I mean, this isn't about you're going to run out of time. You've got enough time to move down the field and get the field goal and win the game, and that would have been the end of it right there, because Houston already had their shot at the ball, and all we had to do is keep calm, do what we had to do. Makes absolutely no sense. And I tell you right now, honestly, I welcome him leaving this team and going somewhere else, because I just believe that this kid needs somebody who has more of a stable offensive plan, game in and game out, and we've seen it too many times where things are going on. And not only that, the last point is that if, in fact, we continue to let this kid run down the field and catch passes like he did, it's amazing he didn't get his knee blown out on that.
But he doesn't. That's one time that's happened. I mean, they threw a trick play and it worked.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's amazing he didn't get his knee.
I know, but you say if they keep letting him. I mean, it was one time. It was one call. He's been in here 2 years. It's the first time they've tried that.
Okay, but still, I'm still saying about him running down the field. And okay.
Let me ask you this, Rick. Do you not think, though, that one of Josh Allen's assets and greatest strengths that they have is the fact that he is an athletic runner and that they should allow and incorporate that? I mean, he had a great run first quarter that, you know, it was a part of the game plan that helped them score.
But I agree, but it's not a situation where it should be a designated run. If he has the opportunity to go down the field like he has, as he goes back in the pocket and sees that the field is wide open and he has the opportunity. Absolutely.
I don't agree. I think you should allow him to – I think you should run design runs for him sometimes. It shouldn't be a part of every series. You should only do it maybe 3-4 times a game. And then the play of the game might have been the fact that they tackled him when he had clear sailing if he gets past that one guy on a designed run in overtime?
I don't know, man, but look what happened to Carson Wentz.
I know, but you know what? Here's the thing. Rick, look around the league. You watch enough football. You know who gets hurt? Guys who stand in the pocket who can't move. They get hurt just as much as anybody else.
You're right. I'm not going to deny that, but here's the thing, though. You also got players that'll take a cheap shot like Clowney did,
yep.
Got away with it.
All right, I think we're getting off base here. I disagree. I think if you're going to do that, then you're neutering Josh Allen. One of the things that he is really good at is using his legs and run. Excuse me. He had 8 touchdowns running in the regular season this year because they were good at it. What I do completely agree with you on, though, is the play calling in overtime. I just went through it. They ran 10 plays. Only 3 were runs, and all were Josh Allen. They never handed the ball off. The rest were passes.
Right.
So I agree with that, but I don't think that they should just neuter him and not let him run. That's part of his game. That's who he is. That's how you got to where you are with him. If you just sit him in the pocket and say only run when it presents itself, he's going to be a worse quarterback. You have to use his strengths. So I don't agree with that, but completely on the overtime play calling. Thanks for the kind words, Rick. Appreciate your phone call, and that's what we do here. Agree, disagree. We have our debates and our conversations. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Sal Capaccio, it's the Extra Point Show here on WGR, and there's no question that right at the beginning of a new year like this, we all try to do our best to eat a little bit better. And starting out the new year healthy doesn't mean, though, you have to sacrifice on flavor, especially with Country Sweet cooking sauce. It's great on deep-fried treats, but just as good when you're cutting down on the junk food, too. Try using Country Sweet barbecue on your main course, like baked chicken breast, and use mild and hot Country Sweet for dipping veggies. You still get that amazing Country Sweet flavor no matter what you're eating. Adding Country Sweet to almost any food makes it taste better, and with 3 flavors, you can use it on everything. It's available at your local grocery store. Just look for the red label and pick up a bottle or all 3 of Country Sweet and check out delicious recipe ideas, by the way, at countrysweet.com. Country Sweet wishes you and your entire family a happy and healthy new year because we all know it's all about the sauce. It's all about more calls in the Extra Point Show after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Got a lot of young talent. I think they put themselves in position to be the top dogs in this division for a couple years, man. I had a great time here. This locker room was great. Great people, great coaches. I'm happy that I came here.
That's Bills running back Frank Gore. Undecided about his NFL future, he mentioned his son going off to college. His son was committed to go to FAU, but then Lane Kiffin left to take another job, so now he's going to Southern Miss. Imagine that, though. Frank Gore, that's how long he's been around. He's got a son going off to college to play football. It's great. He really said some great things about the Bills organization and their future from what he's seen and been around and how he thinks they are ready to take over, even, he said, the AFC East next year. 803-0550. Let's bang out a call before the break. Let's go to Mike in Amherst. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR. Mike, you're on the air, buddy. We still got Mike? Going once, going twice, no mic. All right, let's take a timeout. I'm going to let you all reset or are getting in now. This is what I want to do. You can still talk about whatever you want, but I'm going to also do a little bit more of a focus on the offseason and next year heading in the next hour. So if you're interested, this is what I'm going to do when I come back. If you're interested in Bills pending, unrestricted free agents, restricted free agents, exclusive rights free agents, I got it all for you. I'll tell you about that. I'll break down their salary cap situation, their draft situation, everything. You can still call. I'll still take your calls and anything you want with this game or whatever else, but I'm going to start shifting my focus to that because you deserve that, and I think people want to know all about that. So definitely don't miss any of the next hour because that's what it's going to be about. I still got my final sit-up, stand-down, and hey, buddy, for the 2019 Buffalo Bills season as well on the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.